सूत उवाच तत्र गोमिथुनं राजा हन्यमानं मनाथवत् दण्डहस्तं चावृषलम् दर्शे निपलाञ्चनम्। ॐ ज्ञानदमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ओके, सो आई विल जस्ट रीड विश्वनाथगिरि ठाकुर्स कमेंट्री ऑन 19th वर्स ऑफ द प्रीवियस चैप्टर, राइट। ही सेज the moment Kali Yuga had started, Dharma, the earth, and Kali appeared in this situation. I described in text 19. Then he says, though this was not seen by the people, Parikshit, who meditated with the desire to see this, saw it with his mystic eyes. Dharma, in the form of a bull, asked question to the cow who had lost her effulgence. So, as per this remark of Vishwanatha Thakur and many purports, right? So he says, actually Maharaj Parikshit was trying to contemplate on the meditate on the reasons of why all these discrepancies are taking place, you know. So because of that, he with his desire to find out the reason, he has this mystic vision kind of, you know. He saw this situation that how in this age the dharma will be suffering, the mother cow will be overburdened. So here and in many places in purports also, so we see that how that this bull here is a symbol of dharma. The mother cow is representing earth, right? So this chapter, these two chapters then talks in this symbolic terms, but in any case, you know, bull represent dharma also, right? And cow also is represent the mother earth, right? So that way, so although we say that we always do not interpret like saying Kurukshetra means this body in symbolic terms, but scriptures sometimes do talk in symbolic terms. It's not that you can interpret everything in symbolic terms, so everything is symbolic. No, most of it is fact. But here scriptures sometimes do talk in symbolic language. So here this is this bull and cow, as within this chapter also we will see through Prabhupada purports and other places. It says the bull is representing dharma. The bull represents the state of dharma. So it's not that bull as such, that the bull is a personality of dharma and he has been tortured by Kali, right? It's not exactly like that the, you know, so it represents the principle of dharma are suffering in age of Kali due to the influence of age of Kali, right, as we discussed yesterday. So that is clear. So I read once again. Here he is saying, though this was not seen by the people, 116.19, Bhakshanaja Thakur says that this bull and the cow, they were not seen by the people, that the bull is suffering and the cow is weeping. Parikshit, who meditated with the desire to see this, saw it with his mystic eyes. Vishwanatha Thakur commentary. Okay, so we begin chapter 17. Okay, so now Parikshit Maharaj is seeing here that how this personality of Kali is beating the cow and the bull with a club as if they were anathavat, hanyamanam anathavat. Right? As if there was no protector. So Parikshit Maharaj, he considered himself to be the protector, right, of all the praja, right, whether it's the citizens or even the animals within the kingdom. So he said, how come Parikshit Maharaj is surprised? he is beating as if these poor animals are anathavat while I am still living over here, you know. While I am there to give protection, so they cannot be anath. So he is very surprised. Right? So Prabhupada is saying, the principal sign of the age of Kali is that lower class Shudras, that is men without Brahminical culture and spiritual initiation, will be dressed like administrators or kings. And the principal business of such non-Kshatriya rulers will be to kill the innocent animals, especially the cow and the bulls. Okay, so in the principal sign and their principal business, Prabhupada includes over here in this purport. Text 2. Mrisham Mrinal Dhavalam Mehantam Iva Bhibhyatam Vepamanam Padaykena Sidantam Shudrataditam.
The bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating.
So the bull was like a Mrinal Dhavalam. Dhavalam means white, Mrinal means lotus, like a white lotus. However, Mehantam Iva Bhibhyatam, he was passing urinate, he was urinating out of fear. Right? And he was also trembling. Seeing the Shudra who is attacking him. So Prabhupada says the next symptom of the age of Kali is that the principles of religion which are spotlessly white, like the white lotus flower, will be attacked by the uncultured Shudra population of this age. So again, Vishwanatha Thakur explained that dharma passing urine indicates dharma flowing away at every moment. It is a metaphor used to express perishing condition, the perishing condition of the dharma. Right? This is the metaphor. Mehantam eva bhibhyatam, right? So again, you see, there are many indications given that how this is in a symbolic way, this is being depicted. As Prabhupada also says, the principles of religion are spotlessly white. So, then trembling, right, the trembling of the bull, it indicates that bull did not create an opposition to the actions of Kali. So the bull is there, very white, indicating that the principle of dharma are very pure and white. He was urinating, means these principles are being washed away at every moment. And he was trembling, means that he was not creating any opposition. Trembling indicates he was not creating any opposition to the actions of Kali. So Prabhupada says in the last few lines, the bull standing on one leg indicates that the principles of religion are gradually diminishing. Even the fragmental existence of religious principles will be embarrassed by so many obstacles, as if in the trembling condition of falling down at any time. Or another meaning of trembling Prabhupada is giving is that he has become so weak that he may just collapse at any time. Right? Trembling that he may just collapse. A little strength is remaining in his leg, but that may just, because it's just getting washed away, he may fall at any point of time. Right? Okay. So again, we will see that how the three legs broken indicates, you may say, is there no tapa, shaucham and daya. Right? We know the four legs of dharma are tapa, shaucham, daya and satyam. Right? So we say there is no tapa, daya and shaucham in this age. Said very less. So whatever is remaining, satyam, sorry, is there a great amount of satyam? No. Out of the four, only somewhat of satya is remaining. Satya is the stronger leg. Right? So although there is still right tapa and saucham and daya existing, but it is very less in proportion. But the satya is still there to some extent. Right? It's in a bigger proportion. So therefore it's indicating that his one leg was there. Right? Although there is so much of untruth prevailing, but still comparatively it's all which is prominent, which is not. So from that point of view it is said the three legs are almost broken. Not to indicate that it doesn't exist at all, but very, very less, the other three. Guru text 3. Gam cha dharma du gam dinam prisham shudra padahatam vivatsam ashruvadanam Shamam yavasam ichchatim.
Although the cow is beneficial because one can draw religious principles from her, she was now rendered poor and calfless. Her legs were being beaten by a sudra. There were tears in her eyes and she was distressed and weak. She was hankering after some grass in the field.
Prabhupada says the next symptom of the age of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. Right? All the three purports begin with this only, if you see that purport of text 1, 2, 3. The principal symptom of the Kali is low class Shudra, dressed as administrator. The next symptom of Kali is that the bull, right, which represents Dharma, is being attacked. Then Prabhupada says the next symptom of Kali is the distressed condition of the cow. All the purport, the first line begins with next symptom of the Kali, the next symptom of the Kali, the next symptom of the Kali. You know, in sequence, Prabhupada. So, milking the cow means drawing the principles of religion in a liquid form. Right? And this is now 7th or 8th line. For a Sanatanist, a follower of the Vedic principles, it is a duty of every householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, not only for drinking milk but also for deriving religious principles. And then Prabhupada says that how the cow gives milk when there is a calf, you know. The cow's calf not only is beautiful to look at but also gives satisfaction to the cows. And so she delivers as much milk as possible. But in Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows as early as possible for purposes which may not be mentioned in these pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? We were discussing, right? Prabhupada doesn't describe all the ghastly purposes, you know, people are indulging in. He said, it's not fit to mention. So like certain things are not fit to mention in actually Srimad Bhagavatam class, you know. You know, we were discussing yesterday how sometime we describe, we hear in Bhagavatam class how the Kali Yuga is actually degrading everyone's mentality so fast and how people, they are doing most obnoxious activities, right. And sometimes the graphic description is depicted in the Bhagavatam class, you know. So that description may be required, you know, in some college preaching and this, but then one should be sensitive not to elaborately describe all the ghastly descriptions of Kali Yuga. That is not, Prabhupada says it may not be mentioned in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam over here. Right? So, Vishwanath Thakur says, dharma dugam, right, milking of the cow, means giver of ghee for sacrifice. Right? Gam cha dharma dugam. That how the one can milk the dharma from the cow. This means that cow supplies ghee for the performing of sacrifice. Right? Then she was without a calf because the grains for the mother earth, what is the calf? Her grains actually. So the grains has been destroyed. Therefore, the cow is indicated that she is without a calf. She had tears in her eyes because of the destruction of dharma. She was thin because sacrifices were not performed. Like that. So, and then Prabhupada says in the purport, last four lines, foolish people do not know how one earns happiness by making the cows and bulls happy. But it is a fact by the law of nature. Okay? So people do not have any clue that if they can just keep the cows and bulls happy, then they will also become happy by the laws of nature. And then Prabhupada again pleads, let us take it from the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam and adopt the principles for the total happiness of humanity. If the principles of religion, these four principles are observed and the cow is protected, right, then there can be total happiness for humanity. Paprachcharatham aruda karta swar parichchadam megha gambhiraya vacha समारोपित कार्मुका
महाराज परिकित वेल इक्विपाइड विथ एरोस एंड बो एंड सेटेड ऑन द गोल्ड एम्ब्रॉयडर्ड चाइल्ड स्पोक टू हिम द शूद्र विथ ए डीप वॉइस साउंडिंग लाइक थंडर.
ओके सो महाराज परीक्षित हु वाज रथम आरूढ़ा प्रपचि इंक्वायर्ड and his inquiry was megha gambhiraya vacha. This phrase is used so many times in Bhagavatam, megha gambhiraya vacha. Right? The Lord's, the demigod heard the voice of the Lord, which was like megha gambhiraya vacha. Right? So the speech with gravity and authority, you know, that is like a megha gambhiraya vacha. It indicates that the word spoken had gravity and authority. So, Prabhupada says in the purport, an administrative head or king like Maharaj Parikshit was with full majestic authority, well equipped with weapon to chastise miscreant, can challenge the agents of the age of Kali. So, he took the situation very seriously and in a grave voice he challenged the Kali for this act. Text 5. Kastvam mascharane loke baladham se balan bali nardevo siveshena natvat karmana dvija.
Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong and yet you dare kill within my protection those who are helpless. By your dress you pose yourselves to be a godly man, king, but by your deeds you are opposing the principles of the twice-born kshatriyas.
Okay, so Parikshit Maharaj says, who are you? Kastvam. Right? Masharane loke. Who are you to commit violence in my presence? So the Kali says, I am the king. Right? But Maharaj said, since I am the king, how can you be the king? Kali says, I am king because I am wearing the dress of a king. Naradevo asi veshena. I said, you may be wearing the dress of the king, but your actions, by actions indicate that you are a shudra, adhuja, natvat karmana. By your karmana, right, you by veshan you may be the king, you are dressed like a king, but your, by your actions you are adhuja or a shudra. Maharaj Parikshit says. So, Prabhupada says that a duja word means spiritually cultured. And then he says in the last five or six lines, no one can expect justice or equality of treatment from once born. Prabhupada is commenting on the word adhuja, right? And he says, meaning the twice born means spiritually cultured. A person who is once born, spiritually uncultured, cannot give justice, right? Or cannot treat his subjects equally. Therefore, in the age of Kali, everyone is unhappy due to maladministration of the state. The modern human society is not twice born by a spiritual culture. Therefore, the people's government by the people who are not twice born must be government of Kali, in which everyone is unhappy. So basically, the government of the people, by the people, for the people is actually government of Kali, by the Kali, for the serving the purpose of Kali. All the people, the so-called administrators, they're all agents of Kali Yuga. Therefore, that way, is being explained over here. Go to text 6. Prabhupada even wrote once, letter to Indira Gandhi saying that let there be regular Sankirtan in the parliament and let all the MPs be twice born, said those who are like member of the parliament, kind of ministers and administrators, all of them, they should all be dujas, as Prabhupada is saying that no single born person can administer justice, there has to be spiritual culture. So Prabhupada, when he was saying that let all the member of parliament should be second initiated, they should be dujas, right? Should be spiritually cultured. Prabhupada recommended it in a letter, you can see that. Again, highlighting the principle of Bhagavatam. And if they are all spiritually cultured, then the subjects can be happy. Yastam Krishna Gate Duram Sahagandiva Dhanvana Suchyasi Asuchyanrahasi Praharan Vadamarhasi.
Do you dare beat an innocent cow because Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the carrier of the Gandivo, are out of sight? Since you are beating the innocent in a secluded place, you are considered a culprit and therefore deserve to be killed.
Okay, so the Kali tells Maharaj Parikshit, that just as you are the king of the country, I am the king of this time. Kali Yuga, this period, he is the king of this period, of this time which has come now. Thus you do not have power over me, Kali says. So the king says, Yastam Krishna Gate Duram Sahagandi Vadhanvana. Right? But where were you when Krishna was present and Arjuna was there? Right? So he was saying, I was present, Kali said, but I didn't have power because of fear of them. Right? But I have fear of no one today, the Kali says. So Maharaj Parikshit says, so you deserve to die today. Right? So he said, that I will continue the legacy of my great grandfather, right, who had taken shelter of Krishna. Right, I'll continue that legacy. So he said, Praharan Vadam Arasi, now you deserve to die. So, Prabhupada says, in a civilization where God is conspicuously banished and there is no devotee warrior like Arjuna, the associates of the age of Kali take advantage of this lawless kingdom and arrange to kill innocent animals like the cows in secluded slaughterhouses. You know this word conspicuous, Prabhupada used many times. Yes, you seen the word conspicuous? Conspicuous means something which is obvious, you know. Conspicuous means obvious. So, in one of the purports, you know, if you see the purport of, it's not 114.3, I'll just quickly read. Prabhupada says in the purport of 114.3, you may not go to that, I'm just reading. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, all the above symptoms, right, which is symptom of the age of Kali, were conspicuous by their absence. You know, conspicuous by their absence is like, I'm just explaining this phrase to you. You know, this is a kind of a ornamental phrase. You know, kind of Virodhabhas Alankar in English. You know, conspicuous means something that is obvious. Right? So it is very obvious, right, that in a civilization where God is conspicuously banished, and obviously no one is believing in God, you know, it doesn't require any proof. So when the phrase is used conspicuous by its absence, conspicuous means obvious, right? So obvious means it's, one can easily perceive it. So when one says conspicuous by its absent, by the absence, it is obvious that it's not there. Obviously not there. You know. So here Prabhupada is saying that these principles of religion were obviously not there, you know. When you say obvious, that means oh, something is present, you know. But he's saying obviously not there. That means it's very easily understandable that it's not there. So it's a obvious and not there are usually opposite terms. So it's a Virodhabhasa Alankar. You know. In the Sanskrit there is a, so this is a phrase of English which Prabhupada used many times, you will see. So Prabhupada says the time is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual world. This phrase you will find in so many places. You have read that? Time is conspicuous by its absence. What does it mean conspicuous by its absence? Time is obviously not there in the spiritual world, Prabhupada says. Right? I mean time is obviously doesn't have its any influence in the spiritual world, where all the activities eternally go on. Right? So like something is very clear, you know, obviously not there, you know. So like that. So in when Krishna was there, all these were conspicuously absent, obviously absent, all this adharma. Right? Just explaining, you know, this is a phrase which has been used many, many times in Prabhupada books, so I thought just explain it to you. So, so he's saying that although Krishna and Arjuna may not be there, right, but you can't still torture the innocent cow because I am present. I am going to continue the legacy of my great grandfather. Okay, so text 7. Tam naminal dhavala. Father Nuna Padacharan Vrishirupena Kimkaschid Devo Naparikhedayan.
Then he, Maharaj Parikshit, asked the bull, "Oh, who are you? Are you a bull as white as a white lotus? Or are you a demigod? You have lost three of your legs and are moving on only one. Are you some demigod causing us grief in the form of a bull?"
Okay, so So Maharaj Parikshit said, Praharan Vadam Arhati, you deserve to be killed. So Kali says, but for what offense you want to kill me? Okay, so then Maharaj Parikshit turns toward the bull. And let this bull describe your offense, you know. I see the story straight of this bull. So at this point, Maharaj Parikshit was addressing Kali, now he turns to the bull. Okay? So he's saying, oh, bull, you are as wide as a lotus. Are you some demigod? We see that you have lost your three legs. You are moving only on one. Okay? So, Prabhupada says, at least up to the time of Maharaj Parikshit, no one could imagine the wretched condition of the cow and the bull. Maharaj Parikshit, therefore, was astonished to see such a horrible scene. He inquired whether the bull was not a demigod, assuming a wretched condition to indicate the future of the cow and the bull. So, Vishnu Thakur says, Parikshit Maharaj says, I have not seen such kind of suffering of cow and bull even in my dreams. Right? I can't imagine. Are you indicating that this will be in the future? How can this happen when I am still there to chastise any miscreants? Okay. Text 8. Na jatu kauravindranam dordanda parirambhite bhutale anupatantyasmin vinate praninam sucha.
Now for the first time in a kingdom, well protected by the arms of the king of the Kuru dynasty, I see you grieving with tears in your eyes. Up till now, no one on earth has ever shed tears because of royal negligence.
Okay, so it's described that now Maharaj Parikshit, he speaks with fiery pride, Vishwanath Thakur says. He says, except for your tears, tears have not fallen in this land which has been protected by the kings of the Kuru dynasty. Na jatu kauravindra nam. Right? Bhutale anupatantyasmin. Never ever the tears of any innocent living being has fallen on this land which is protected by the kings of the Kuru dynasty. Right? This is the first time this has happened. Right? He is saying. Maharaj Parikshit continues, Maasaurabhe yatra sucho vyatute vrishalad bhayam marodiramba bhadram te khalanam mai shastri.
A son of Saurabhi, you need lament no longer now. There is no need to fear this low-class Shudram. And O Mother Cow, as long as I am living as the ruler and subduer of all envious men, there is no cause for you to cry. Everything will be good for you.
So he is saying, in this text he is consoling both of them. Right? He is consoling that you should not have any fear now. Ma saurabhyatra sucho, do not lament. Vetute vishalam bhayam, there is no cause to be of any fear now. Ma rodir amba bhadram te, he addressed the cow as a mother. Oh mother, all good fortune to you. Ma rodir, please don't cry. And khalana mai shastri, I am there to punish all kind of miscreants or envious people, khalanam. Right? So, Prabhupada says, third line, Maharaj Parikshit addresses the cow as mother, for he is a cultured twice born Kshatriya king. Surbhi is the name of the cow which exists in the spiritual planets and are specially reared by Lord Shri Krishna himself. As men are made after the form and feature of the Supreme Lord, so also the cows are made after the form and feature of the Surbhi cow in the spiritual kingdom. And if you skip 5-6 lines, Prabhupada says, there has sometimes been agitation for the protection of the cow, but for want of pious executive heads and suitable laws, the cows and bull are not given protection. But he, here in Maharaj Parikshit, he assures all protection or fearlessness to the cow and the bull. Text 10 and 11. Pious executive heads and suitable laws. Pious executive heads mean those who will follow the dharma, those who can execute this principle of dharma which we are discussing, the protection of the bull, the protection of cows, and the chastising the agents of Kali. So they will be considered as the for want of means there is no lack of, for lack of executive, pious executive heads. Yasya rashtre praja sarvas trasyante sadve sadubhi tasya matasya nashyanti kirti rayur bhago gati esharagyam paro dharmo hayartanamarti nigraha अत एनम वधिष्यामि भूतद्रोहम सत्तमम्।
O chaste one, the king's good name, duration of life and good rebirth vanish when all kinds of living beings are terrified by the miscreants in his kingdom. It is certain that the prime duty of a king to subdue first the suffering of those who suffer. Therefore, I must kill those most wretched man because he is violent against the other living beings.
So he is saying, Yasya rashtre praja sarvas, where the, all the living angry, trasyante, they are terrified, they are tortured. By whom? Sadhve he addressed as, O chaste one, O mother cow, sadhve. Asadhu bhi. So when those who are asadhus, they torture the general praja, tasya matasya nashyanti. Tasya means that king under whose subjugation this happens. Matasya means who is that attentive and illusioned. If the king is so illusioned that he doesn't notice that, then what happens? Kirtir ayur bhago gati. So all his fame, his duration of life, all his good fortune, this is all destroyed. Therefore, esha rajyam paro dharmo, this is the dharma of the king. Hai artha nam arti nigraha, artha, you know, artha is the distress. So for the distress, arti nigraha, he is to remove the sufferings of his subjects who are being tormented by the agents of Kali. Therefore, at enam vidishyami bhutadruhum asattamam. Therefore, I will kill him, right, who is tormenting the innocent living beings. So, Vishnu Thakur says, cow and bull, they tell him, but if you kill him because of us, then we will be implicated in killing. Do not do that. Maharaj Parikshit says, it is my duty is to punish him. Right? It's not because you are complaining and I am going to kill him. Esha rajyam paro dharmo. This is the duty of the king to punish such miscreants. Right? Otherwise, all his good fortune, duration of life, right, and his kingdom, it all will be destroyed. And then Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, in the middle of it, by the law of the Supreme Lord, all living beings in whatever shape they may be are the sons of the Lord. and no one has a right to kill another animal unless it is so ordered by the courts of natural law. Right? You know, we said it is a natural law described where jivo jivasya jivanam. Right? Ahasti sahastanam, apadani. Right? It's mentioned. So, Prabhupada says, in Prabhupada gives a one personal example over here. He says, while commenting on this particular verse, right, this verse which describes that is a dharma of the king to subdue people who trouble others and establish religious principles. Prabhupada says, while commenting on this particular verse, we have in our presence the statement of a great modern politician who has recently died and left his will, which discloses his poor fund of knowledge of the courts of God mentioned by Maharaj Parikshit. The politician was so ignorant of the courts of God that he writes, I do not believe in any such ceremonies, and to submit to them even as a matter of form would be hypocrisy and an attempt to delude ourselves and others. I have no religious sentiments in the matter. Whom is referring to? Any idea you have? Which year Nehru died? 64? Could be. Prabhupada could be referring to Nehru. He was also atheist only. Right? Yeah. So Prabhupada says, the statement of a great politician who left his will. Right? So probably you'll have to see the history. I'm not sure whom Prabhupada is referring to. Could be Nehru. Okay, so then Prabhupada in the next paragraph he contrasts the Maharaj Parikshit with the modern politicians. Right? Maharaj Parikshit was actually fixed in protecting religious principles and okay, you'll have to maybe check it out. You know, these words was given, looks like in quote unquote is given the exact statement. You'll be able to find it out. Whose words are these? Right? Yeah. Okay, we go to text 12. Ko vrishchattava padam strin sorabhya chatuspada Mahabhuvam svadrisha rastre Ragyam Krishna anuvarnitam anuvartitam.
He, Maharaj Parikshit, repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull thus, O son of Surbhi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you.
Right, so Maharaj Prabhupada says he repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull. Right, because Kali asked what friends of mine you are punishing. So therefore Maharaj Parikshit turned to them for a statement from their side, you know. The party who is suffering, they have to give a statement that this is the person who is actually tormenting us. So therefore Maharaj Parikshit is consoling them, pacifying them and saying you don't have to have any fear. There has not been any person like this so unhappy. Right? He says, Ragya Krishna Nuvartinam. The kings who are followers, right, of the courts established by Krishna. Krishna Anuvartinam. Those who follow in the footsteps of Lord Krishna. Right? So, in the kingdom ruled by such kings, there has not been anyone so unhappy as you. Please be fear, don't have any fear. Tell me who is the cause of your this condition, your such a distressed condition. Right? And Prabhupada again says in the second paragraph, in a state where the codes of Krishna are followed, Krishna Anuvartinam, no one is unhappy. Where such codes are not followed, the first sign is that three legs of the representative of religion are cut off, and thereby all miseries follow. Thirteen. Akhyahi Vishabhadram va Sadunam Kritagasam Atmavairupya Kartaram Parthanam Kirti Dushanam.
O Bull, you are offenseless and thoroughly honest. Therefore, I wish all good to you. Please tell me of the perpetrator of these mutilations which blackmail the reputation of the sons of Pritha.
Okay, so Akhyahi Vrishabhadram va, let me know, right? Sadhu Naam Akritagasam, that you are honest person, you have not committed any offense. Right? And by treating such a honest and offenseless person, by mistreating you, who is the one who actually is mistreating you and thus threatening to spoil the fame of the Pandavas? Right? Saying that a person who is mistreating you, who is actually threatening to spoil the fame of the Partha Naam, right, the Pandavas, the son of Spritha, the Partha Naam. So Vishnu Thakur says, Maharaj Parikshit tells Kali, tells the bull, if you tell me, I will kill that person. The bull says, I have nothing to say. Then Maharaj Parikshit says, O bull, you who are good natured and defenseless are auspicious in happiness and in suffering. But tell me the criminal who is spoiling the fame of the Pandavas. Who is the person who disfigured you by cutting off your legs? Guru text 14. Jane anagasya gham yunjan sarvatosyajamadbhayam sadhu naam bhadram evasyad asadhu dhamane krite.
Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless.
So Parikshit Maharaj says, whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere. Right? So Maharaj Parikshit is saying, by telling me who is actually tormenting you, right? Who is he, by pointing out that person, then that person will have to fear me. But even if you do not tell, under all conditions he'll have to fear me. Right? For he who harms the innocent will have to fear me anywhere and everywhere. Right? So that if you may tell me or you may not tell me, but anyone who harms the innocent, you know, he will have to fear me anywhere and everywhere. So it's very important. He says, don't think that there is no witness, then I am going to, you know, say okay, he is innocent, you know. In the Kali Yuga, for lack of witness, many criminals may be left aside. He said, no. He said, even if you do not tell me, I am still going to punish the person, right? I would ascertain the person who is actually committing, you know, he's tormenting the innocent. Anyone who is tormenting the innocent will have to fear me under all conditions, whether there is a witness or not, anywhere and everywhere. You know, Maharaj Parikshit is asserting that. I am not simply dependent upon, you know, some witness, then only I will punish. But I'll punish. Right? sadhu naam bhadrame vasyada sadhu dhamane krite sarvato asyacha mad bhayam sarvato, in every place, at every time, right, that person will have to fear me, one who torments the innocent. For by punishing the miscreants, one automatically protects the innocent, Maharaj Parikshit says. By punishing the miscreant, one automatically protects the innocent. So Prabhupada says, dishonored miscreants flourish because of cowardly and impotent executive heads of the state. And because they are unable to punish, so therefore the dishonored miscreants flourish. But when the executive heads are strong enough to curb all sort of dishonest miscreants in any part of the state, certainly they cannot flourish. Anagashva iha bhuteshu yagaskrin nirankusha ahartasmi bhujam sakshad amritasya vishangadam.
An upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be directly uprooted by me, even though he be a denizen of heaven or armor and decorations.
Okay, so the bull says, what if a person torturing us is stronger than you? Right? Maharaj Parikshit is saying, may even he be a demigod in the heaven, they may be devatas also, but I have the courage and strength to punish any kind of upstart. He says, you don't have to doubt that, he said, amartyas api sangadam, that I have the strength and the courage because I am Krishna Anuvarti Nam, right? I am following my grandfather Arjuna, right? I am continuing their legacy. Whose shelter was even taken by the demigod? You remember we studied, demigod took shelter of Arjuna's mighty arms, right? To protect themselves from the demon Nivat Kavacha. So he's saying that I am following in their footsteps and following the codes of Krishna. So I can punish any miscreant, even though they may be the denizens of heaven, right? So Maharaj Parikshit is assuring the bull that, you just tell me the name, you don't have to worry about anything. You tell me who is the miscreant and I'll punish him without fail. Right? There is no question of any inability. Text 16. Ragyo hi paramo dharma so dharma sthanupalanam Shashato Nyan Yatha Shastram Anapade Utpathaniha.
The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give up all protection to love-avoiding person and to chastise these who stray from the audience of the scripture at ordinary time when there is no emergency.
So he's saying the duty of the king is to give protection to law-abiding persons, and Ragyo hi paramo dharma so dharma sthan upalanam, those who are following their swadharmas, the duty of the king is to palanam, is to give them protection, and shashato anyan yatha shastram anapadi utpathaniha, right? So when, and chastise those who stray from the principle of scriptures in ordinary times, right? Anapad, you know, apatkalin samay, apatkalin, apatkalin means emergency, and anapad utpathaniha, anapad means not emergency. When there is no emergency situation, those who break the injunctions of the scriptures, they must be punished by the king. So in the case of emergency, you know, apatkalin time, then the scripture permit that a person may give up his swadharma and take up the someone else's dharma. Right? And Prabhupada says, it is said that sometime the great sage Vishwamitra had to live on the flesh of the dogs in some extraordinary dangerous position. Like that. Dharma uvacha etadva pandaveyanam yuktamartha bhayam vacha esham guna ganay krishno dottyado bhagavan krita.
The personality of religion said, these words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger.
So, the bull is saying, first of all, the bull is now congratulating Maharaj Parikshit, said, etadva pandaveya nam yuktam artha abhayam vacha. Your words are very befitting, for they give abhayam, they give fearlessness to those who are distressed. Artha abhayam vacha. Right? And they befit a person coming in pandaveya nam, in the dynasty of the Pandavas. Yesham guna ganay krishno dottya ado bhagavan krita. By Lord Krishna, he was so much controlled by the good qualities of Pandavas. Right? Yesham refers to Pandavaya nam. Yesham gun ganay krishno. Lord Krishna was so much controlled by the qualities of Pandavas that he became dotte ado. Ado means etc. So a messenger and order carrier and chariot driver and so many, right? Ado, etc. So he performed such menial tasks for the sake of Pandavas. Right? And your words befit, right? Those who are coming in the line of the Pandavas. And Prabhupada says, the assurances and challenges made by Maharaj Parikshit are never exaggerations of his real power. They were not exaggeration. He was, those were befitting his strength and the courage and his lineage. And Prabhupada says, towards the end of the purport, fifth last line, a devotee is always under the protection of the Lord. And therefore the assurance of protection by Maharaj Parikshit could never be without meaning. The personality of religion accepted this fact and thus thank the king for being true to his exalted position. Right? So first Dharma congratulates, as we discussed. Text 18. Navayam klesha bijani yatasyu purusharbha purusham tam vijani mo vakya bheda vimohita.
O greatest amongst human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused this suffering, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers.
Okay, so now the very interesting discussion starts in this three, four verses. It's a very interesting discussion about a dharma. Right? Dharma is speaking now. He's saying, Na vayam klesh bijani. Said, I can't say who is the cause of my suffering. Said, what? If the miscreant is tormenting you, why can't you say? He said, he is simply bringing the fruit of the suffering. But where is the bij of the suffering? You know? You understand the point? That someone may speak harshly to you, but you may say that this person is actually just bringing the fruit of my own seed. Right? that so I may have spoken something wrong. I may have only, you know. We talk, I may have done this. So he's saying this Kali is only bringing the fruit of the suffering, right? He's but now vayam klesh bijani, what is the seed of my suffering? Oh, that is very difficult to find out. What is the seed cause? You know, we can only find out the person who brings the fruit to us. You know, the person who becomes the instrument of our karma. We usually blame that person, right? We usually blame a person who becomes the instrument of our karma. So here, Bull is saying, we can't blame the instrument of our karma. And why then I am suffering? What is the seed cause? Na vayam klesha bijani. Very, very difficult to ascertain. The different philosophers have different mata. What is the seed cause of suffering? Right? Vakya bheda vimohita. There is a many, many difference of opinion, and all of the great philosophers are bewildered that what causes the suffering of a living entity. What causes the suffering of a living entity? This is not just a $1 million question, this is a $1 billion question. Right? When the great learned people are bewildered, what is the cause of suffering of the living entity? So Prabhupada says, commenting on the words vakya bheda vimohita, different opinions of theoretical philosophers, says Prabhupada says the third line of the Bhagavad Gita, generally there are six great philosophers. Kanad, the author of Vaisheshika philosophy, Gautam, the author of logic, Patanjali, the author of mystery yoga, Kapil, the author of Shankhya, this Kapil is the atheist Kapil, author of Shankhya philosophy, Jaimini, the author of Karma Mimamsa, and Vyasadeva, the author of Vedanta Darshan. Six system of philosophy. Although the bull or the personality of religion and the cow, the personality of the earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their suffering, still as the devotees of the Lord they knew well that without the sanction of the Lord no one could inflict trouble upon them. According to Padma Puran, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of seedling sins. Right? So they are saying that now the fruit is coming, fine. Kali may be bringing the fruit, he is beating us. But what is the seed cause of the suffering? That is very difficult to ascertain. Right? So, according to Padma Puran, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of seedling sins. But even those seedling sins also gradually fade away by the execution of pure devotional service. So Prabhupada is giving one step higher understanding than what Dharma is talking of here. You know, Dharma is not referring to the performance of devotional service, but in this context, right, Prabhupada is giving one step higher understanding, a devotional understanding. Right? Thus, even if the devotees see the mischief monger, they do not accuse them for the sufferings inflicted. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the suffering, thinking them to be God given in small doses, for otherwise the suffering should have been greater. Right? So this is the vision of the devotees. Right? The devotees do not blame the person who brings the fruit of the suffering, the instrument of the carrier of that fruit. While even those who know Dharma, they also, those who may not be the devotees, right, but those who follow Dharma or those who know Dharma, they also don't blame. For they understand that, again, that the seed cause is not, this person is not the seed cause who is giving me the suffering. The seed cause is something else. Right? what is the statement karmano gatim ha karmano gatim, where is the seed and where is the fruit and where is the seedling. You know, it's all very, it's very difficult to ascertain. That is very difficult to ascertain. Gahana karmano gatim. So that you can't actually exactly pinpoint that where the this started from, you know, like that. So but as this is now, this is a personal perspective, you know, see, there are different perspectives. So this perspective is a personal perspective, that no one should blame the immediate cause of one's suffering. No one should blame the immediate cause of one's suffering, knowing that that this is the seeds were sown by me previously, maybe in previous lifetime somewhere. So very difficult to ascertain, right, the seed cause of suffering. But personally, one should understand and not blame anyone for one's cause of suffering, for one's immediate cause of suffering. That is the personal perspective, right? But the king can't take this perspective, you know. If a subject is being tortured, and you said, oh, you are reaping the result of some of your own seed suffering. No, the king has to punish the miscreant. So that perspective which you are saying, that is, the king cannot take that perspective. That will be a dharma on his part. So you see, this understanding of dharma is very subtle and very fine. So one may, as a personal perspective, ask that you don't blame anyone, don't accuse anyone for your suffering. Right? But the king can't take that perspective. Right? Or the person who is administrative at a level, managerial level, he can't take that perspective. He has to find out who is the immediate cause and try to correct the immediate cause. Right? And prevent all the root cause also. You know, what is the root cause of all kind of sufferings, various kind of adharmic, the flourishing of adharma. Right? So he has to take care of the immediate cause as well as the remote cause. Right? The king has to address all different levels of causes. Okay, so basically the point here is, the dharma is saying, which every person should also take this perspective, as a personal perspective, that we can't determine actually, right, who is the cause of my suffering. Right? It's very difficult to ascertain. Right? So, we can't blame, he's saying, I can't blame the personality of Kali. That is a valid point. So, Maharaj Parikshit, I am reading the second paragraph of purport 18. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to get a statement of accusation against the direct mischief monger. But they, the cow and the bull, declined to give it on the above mentioned grounds. Right? Speculative philosophers, however, do not recognize the sanction of the Lord. They try to find out the cause of suffering in their own way, as will be described in the following verses. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, such speculators are themselves bewildered, and thus they cannot know that the ultimate cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. Guru text 19. Kechid vikalpa vasana ahuratmanam atmana devamanne pare karma sabhavam apare prabhum.
Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause.
Okay, so now Bull is saying there are four kind of opinions as a cause of suffering. Okay? Kechid Vikalpa Vasana, those who deny all dualities, they say Ahur Atmanam Atmana, that one's own self, basically they say that the mind is the cause of the suffering. Then there are others who says Devam, right? That this is ordained by the Dev, man is helpless, you know. When there is too much of rain, famine, drought, people say Dev. Right? We also say the threefold miseries, right? One is this Dev only. Right? So one is by one's own mind, right? Atmanam, mind inflicts the suffering, other is the Dev inflicts the suffering, other is the other living entities, we say, caused by other living entities. Right? So in this he said Atmanam, but the mind is the cause of suffering, one's own self. Then the other dua say that the Dev are responsible, superhuman powers are responsible. And others who say apare devam anne apare karma, apare, others say the karma is the cause of suffering. We also say that one is suffering because of his own karma. Right? As you sow, so shall you reap. That is the law of karma. So then the others who say that the karma is the cause of suffering. And there are others who says swabhav. Swabhav refers to the nature of this material world, you know. It dukhalyam hai, isme har shan, you know, every moment there is suffering only. So the nature of this material world is suffering. You know, we are in this dukhalya. So therefore everyone has to suffer, right? Even without, Prabhupada also at times say that without any fault of a person, everyone in the material world somehow, by the nature, you know, of this world, everyone suffers. Right? So the nature of the material world is the cause of suffering. Okay, so Prabhupada says, as referred to above, philosophers like Jaimini and his followers establish fruitive activity is the root cause of all distress and happiness. Okay, and that even if there is superior authority, some superhuman powerful god or gods, he or they are also under the influence of fruitive activities, because they reward result according to one's action. Right? Deva karma sachiva sadhavo deen vatsala. So those who are devas, they are karma sachiva. They are like the shadows of one karma. The demigods are not independent. They are not independent in giving any result to the followers. They, according to the karma, they can award a particular result. Right? The word karma sachiva is used for the devatas. Right? So therefore this philosopher like Jaimini says that fruitive activity is the cause. Right? In this, there may be a controller like a devatas, but he's not independent. And we express, right? The devatas, they have to award the result as per one's karma. So therefore they say karma is the root cause of one's suffering. There are others that say that action is not independent because action is performed by some performer. Therefore, the performer himself is the cause of his own happiness or distress. In Bhagavad Gita also it is confirmed. Right? So Bhagavad Gita 6.5 Prabhupada says, it is confirmed that by one's mind, freed from material affection, one can deliver himself from the sufferings of material pangs. So one should not entangle oneself in matters by the mind's material afflictions. Thus one's own mind is one's friend or enemy in one's material happiness and distress. Man eva manushyanam karanam bandh mokshe. His mind is the cause of suffering. Right? So the karma is the cause of suffering, and others say that the mind is the cause of suffering. It is the mind who inflicts suffering. And Vishnu Thakur also says, he quotes another verse, No, this is not. This is some other terms. Okay. So let's go ahead. So then, this is about the karma. Prabhupada talks then about this. The mind is the cause of suffering. Atmanam. Then atheistic, materialistic Sankhyas conclude material nature is the cause of all causes. According to them, combination of material element are the causes of material happiness and distress. And disintegration of matter is the cause of freedom from all material pangs. And then Prabhupada says, Gautama and Kanard find that atomic combination is the cause of everything. And impersonalists like Ashtavakra discover that the spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all causes. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Himself declares that He is the source of impersonal Brahman, and therefore He, the Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate cause of all causes. It is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita that Lord Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. So the conclusion coming here is that various philosophers, they try to find out various causes, but they are bewildered, right? And those who are the true knowers, they know that the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. So who is the cause for the bull suffering? What do you say? Huh? Will of the Lord. Okay. So all the living entities of the Lord, they suffered by the will of the Lord. Is karma not the cause of the living entity suffering? Tattenu kampam shushmikshamano bhunjaneva kritam vipaka. What about that verse? Which says that I am suffering the result of my own karma. Yes. Huh? Yeah. He just sanctions. And Prabhupada saying he's not happy. He isn't happily sanctions. He's saying it's the will of the Lord, but he's not happy. In this situation. Okay. And some people feel that, you know, the grahas are the cause. Vishwanath Thakur puts it. Let's read Vishwanath Thakur also. What does he say? Text 19 we are reading, right? So he also quotes this verse, Gita 6.5. Here the different opinions are described. He says. Right? Here the different opinions are described. Some of the yogis who cover up the differences, mean those who believe in destroying the dualities, say that the mind, the controller of the person, gives happiness and distress. Some people say the mind is the cause, right? And then he quotes Bhagavad Gita. Yes, Atmeva Atmano Bandhur, Atmeva Ripur Atmana. The mind, the true friend and the enemy. The mind is the enemy, he is the cause of suffering. They also say that the devatas cannot be the devatas cannot be the cause, since they are controlled by karma as well, right? So you think they also say that devatas cannot be the cause, since they are controlled by karma as well. And the karma cannot be the cause because it is not independent. Thus only Atma is the cause and nothing else. Right? This kind of first philosopher they talk. They refute that the karma cannot be the cause, the devatas cannot be the cause, therefore one's own mind is the cause of suffering and nothing else. So each philosopher refutes others. Others, those who believe in planets controlled by devatas, says planets are the cause. Right? The devatas and the grahas are the cause. The Mimamsakas say that karma is the cause. And the others say that the inherent property of matter, right, is the cause. Right? So in this way there are many opinions. Right? We see that the people appease many demigods. They said, "Koi someone is suffering." They say, "Graha, iske graha theek nahi hai." Right? And at times when the grahas, they do some upaya and the grahas became all right, and then the person suffering go away. It has been seen actually. Right? And at other times, karma, you know, that person is his own bad karma is suffering. Once the karma, bad karma is over, then his suffering will get over. Right? Once, you know, Vrachandra Prabhu, he was taking Ayurvedic medicine. He was saying, this Ayurvedic medicine is very bitter, you know. This Ayurvedic treatment is based upon destroying the karma by giving him so much bitterness, you know. Said by having so much bitterness, one day all the karmas will vanish and then the suffering will vanish automatically, you know. Anyway, there are many philosophers like that. The karma will go away, the suffering will go away, and it's a fact. Many times, you know, sometimes when the karma goes away, then a particular doctor becomes very famous, you know. Then he gives some medicine, then the medicine acts, and he becomes very famous. But actually the karma had actually vanished, you know. The karma goes away, the suffering goes away. It has been seen in many, many times, right? It has been seen. It's not untruth. So, so in this way, the grahas are the cause. That it is just the nature of the material world. Some sufferings are brought because inherent to the material world. In material world there will be always some suffering or the other, you know. So the nature of the material world causes suffering, the karma causes suffering, the graha causes suffering. Each one has his own opinion, right? And here, as we read, Prabhupada says that although all of them speculate, but according to Jiva Goswami, such speculators are themselves bewildered, and thus they cannot know that the ultimate cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. So the Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause, right? That will come. We'll look that into that particular aspect. Let's study the next verse, right? It's a little bit confusing, is it not? So let me just clarify to you. So although all of these are the causes, but when we ascertain them as a cause, they are the causes, and in one sense they are not the causes also, because they are not the ultimate cause, or they are not the independent cause. Karma is not independent of Krishna. If Krishna wants, he can dissolve the karma. Grahas are not independent of the creator of the grahas. Vishwanatha Thakur in the 11th or 12th canto, he says, one who has created the grahas, he can change their situation also. You know? So the grahas are not the independent cause. So the material nature is Krishna's nature. Right? She is not independent of Krishna. She cannot inflict suffering independent of Krishna. So they are the dependent causes. We can't say that they are not the cause, but ultimately all these philosophers, they attribute that these factors are the independent causes. You do your good karma and then perfect everything else. Then you have nothing to worry. What is God? Everything. They are all, right? They have a karma sachiva. The devata is a karma sachiva. There is no question of. And Krishna also used that philosophy to enrage Indra. Krishna used that philosophy, you know, Karma Mimamsa in the 10th canto. But saying that any of these factors to be the making them as the independent causes is a mistake. Therefore, they are bewildered. They can't see that all these causes of miseries are ultimately dependent upon the will and the sanction of the Lord. That is the whole. The whole is being, the whole philosophy is being viewed from various perspectives. Kind of, you know, this is the cause. No. So each philosopher refutes other philosopher. How can that be the cause? You know. So they refute each other, and they are themselves bewildered. Why they are bewildered? Because they can't ultimately see that above all the causes is the ultimate cause of all causes. Right? By his, and all other causes are secondary causes. They are existing by his will. If he wants, he can revert any cause. He can, right, turn upside down any cause of suffering of the living entities. So that is the whole gist of the whole discussion actually. So we go to text 20.
Aparatarkyad nirdeshyat iti keshu abhinishchaya atranurupam rajarshe vimarsha somanishaya.
Who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distaste by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. Who sage amongst kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence.
Apara tarkayad anirdeshyat. So they says, there are others who say that you can't reason, you know, you can't find out the cause of suffering. You can't reason it out. Apara tarkayad and anirdeshyad. You cannot pinpoint. It cannot be pointed out. Iti keshu api nischaya. Other ascertain that. Right? Atra anurupam rajarishe vimarsh. So, O sage amongst the king, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your intelligence. Now, these are the various philosophies. Now you judge who is the cause. Right? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the Vaishnavas ascertain that the happiness and the suffering come from the Supreme Lord, who cannot be determined by designation. So here, apara tarkayad and anirdeshyad refers to the Supreme Lord. Now there are others who say that actually the Supreme Lord is the cause, ultimately. So here he is saying, the Vaishnavas ascertain that the happiness and suffering come from the Supreme Lord, who cannot be determined by designation. Right? And Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavo Bhayam Chabhyam Evacha, 10.4. Ahimsa Samata Tushtis Tapo Danam Yashoisha Bhavanti Bhav Bhutana Mat Eva Prithak Vidha. Pain, pleasure, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, infamy, all these various states of living being arise only from me. Right? So the pain and the pleasure, the happiness and distress, Krishna says, arise from me. But why should it be impossible to designate the Lord as a cause? From seeing people suffering arising from time, karma, property of matter, planets, ghosts, kings, snakes and sickness, even those things cannot be determined as a cause, since in reality those causes are not independent. So even though we are seeing that the suffering is arising from the kal, karma, from the property of matter and from various other direct causes, he thinks these cannot be ascertained as a direct cause in reality because they are not independent cause. Everything arises from the Lord. Therefore the Lord is the cause. So can we say that the Lord is the cause of the suffering? Then ultimately, what do you say? None other cause is independent. Krishna says, all arise from me. So can Krishna be said as the cause of the suffering? Huh? Plus our free will. Okay. No. Can Krishna be called as a cause? This Prabhupada is saying it and Vishnu Thakur is saying. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami, according to Jiva Goswami, such speculators are themselves bewildered and thus they cannot know the ultimate cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, in this regard. Right? And Krishna is saying that all these conditions arise from me only. So can we call the Lord as a cause? Can we ascertain that the Lord is the cause of the suffering and the happiness of the living entities? Okay, he is the ultimate cause. And there are other remote causes. Right? Huh? Yeah. So Krishna can be termed as the ultimate cause of happiness. First we say yes or no and then explain. So can Krishna be termed as the ultimate cause of living entities, happiness and suffering?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Because it is his energy, you mean to say, the material energy inflicts. It is by his arrangement. Okay. Any other opinion? Can he be called the ultimate cause of the living entities' happiness and suffering? Yes.
Five causes of every particular action. And I think the
five causes of every action. Yeah.
And the commentary is made that, I mean, ultimately all four, the other four factors of action must rest on the Lord himself. But if it was the Lord alone who was held responsible, then there's no meaning to Shastric study, there's no meaning to our being in this world and trying to endeavor to get out of it. Because the living entity alone by his own activity causes his suffering or happiness.
Hmm.
But the Lord merely facilitates the living entity. Yeah. Like in the previous verse, I think in the 19th verse, there was
So first I want to know, That statement I am holding, can the Lord be termed as the ultimate cause? We are not denying other causes. But here the thing is coming that, but He is the ultimate cause, you know, all other causes are independent, are dependent upon Him only. Because all these philosophers, they try to find out a cause independent of the Lord, therefore they are bewildered. They miss the link that finally it is the Lord, ultimately the Lord who is the ultimate sanctioner. Right? Or whose energy is ultimately acting. The kaal is his will. Right? The karma, laws of karma are his laws. Right? Material nature is his nature. So now can the Lord be termed as the ultimate cause of the happiness and suffering of the living entities? Not denying the other causes. So first you answer that in precise word and then explain.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because we are not saying that the living entity is not the cause. We are not saying the karma is not the cause. But can the Lord be then termed? Yes. Yes.
When everything taking into account, it appears that the Lord is the ultimate cause. But the fall down of the jiva from the spiritual world, that was not a Lord's desire. So that point remains unclear with me. The soul rebelled. He wanted to enjoy separate from the Lord.
Yeah.
So can we consider
right? So basically, see the when we say the Lord is the ultimate cause. Now the cause, He is the cause in terms of His sanctioning everything, but He is not the cause in terms of being held responsible. Right, so he is when we say he is the cause of our suffering, you can't hold him responsible. Ultimately, he is the cause because material nature, the time, the whole material world has been created by him. He has to be understood as a cause, because if he is not understood as a cause, then that means he is not the supreme controller. That there are causes which are independent of him. Right, so there is nothing independent of him. So he has to be understood as a cause. Because he can revert, if he is not the cause, that means there is something independent power of him. Right? And that means he cannot now revert back. So he is the cause, because everything is dependent on him, and he can revert also anything. At any point of the time, he can dissolve. He can change any cause. He can change the grahas. He can change the gati of the kal, right? He could bring the dead sons back to life of Sandipani Muni. So he is the ultimate cause, right? He is the cause of all causes. He has to be understood. Otherwise, then we will not get a good understanding. But he is not the cause in terms of being held responsible. That also has to be understood. We say he is not the cause. He cannot be held responsible. It will be wrong to call him the cause in terms of ascertaining the responsibility of living entity suffering. So the living entities is suffering, that responsibility is with the living entity. Right? That responsibility with the living entity. So responsibility lies, but all the other things, you know, suppose a child misbehaves. If the child is punished by a mother, who is the cause? Mother is the cause, because the misbehavior itself cannot give the punishment. The karma alone cannot bring the fruits unless there is a system, you know, the arrangement of the Lord. The misbehavior itself cannot bring the punishment. So mother has to be punished. But mother can't be held responsible. You know, she is the cause. Right? So therefore, Lord is the cause in terms of his sanctioning all this. Right? And that is also his mercy. This sanction is his merciful sanction for a merciful cause. Right? But he can't be held responsible for sanctioning all this or facilitating all this. Therefore, he is not the cause. Right? So therefore, this is and you'll find different statement, you know, that he is the cause also, not the cause also. So both are true in a because these are the two connotations of the word cause. Like that. Okay. So now the Vishnu Thakur finally says, it can be inferred that the Lord gives suffering to me for benefiting the devotees. He desires to increase the remembrance of the Lord by increasing the miserable condition of developing devotees, like me, the bull. Okay? As well as he wants to announce the fame of the highest devotee like you by your punishing Kali. So word nishchaya, apara tarkayat anirdeshyat itu iti keshu api nishchaya. Nishchaya, he is saying, some people ascertain. And Vishnu Thakur says, this is the certain cause. Nishchaya word used shows, this certainly is the right understanding now. That the Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause of all causes. He is the cause. But you can't reason out. Right? He is without the reasoning. And he exactly can't be pinpointed. So he is ultimate cause of all causes, but you can't always figure out that why did he do that. But he is giving some hints. He said, but there are some understandings which are given by the great devotees, that he is the cause and he is merciful in giving this suffering for increasing my remembrance, the bull is saying, and for glorifying you who will chastise Kali. So by this arrangement, Krishna has his plan. Right? So Krishna is the ultimate cause, Bull is saying. Right? So in the devotees also, when devotees are suffering, saying that this suffering has been given by Krishna mercifully, we are saying he is the cause. Right? But we are not holding him responsible. It is his arrangement, the suffering is coming for my purification, for my betterment. Prabhupada says that in the purport, I'll read that. Right? So, in this way, devotees see the Lord as a cause. Right? But they don't hold him responsible. That is the point. So, again, the word keshu means some. Right? Only few people have this understanding. Most of the people remain bewildered. They are bewildered because they don't see the ultimate hand of the Lord. They only see various secondary factors, right, which are not wrong, but thinking that they are independent factors is a wrong understanding. Okay, so we go to text 21 or before that. Yeah. So Prabhupada says a few things about this in the middle of the purport. Besides that, one cannot estimate the Lord's reactions either by speculation or by scholarship. Why does he put some into difficulty and not others? So he's saying, actually, the Lord is the cause, but you can't figure out, you can't reason out, right? That why he did this, you know? Why he did this? So that why he did this is they all the philosophers try to reason out, but the devotee says, surely he did for my benefit, right? So now exactly reason can't be figured out. But surely the result will be for my benefit. What caused it? You know, which karma I did at what time is very difficult to ascertain. You know? Or it is just the material nature inflicting, it is the will of the Lord, it is the kal, some graha, some dev, right? So trying to find out the exact reason, saying it's not possible by speculation or scholarship. That why does one is put into difficulty and not others? Therefore, one understands that the Lord is behind it, right? He is the cause and He is merciful. So it is by His mercy I am getting this, and surely it is for my benefit, right? So that is the perfect understanding. So it will be very difficult, and one should not try to do that, you know, try to find out the seedling cause, you know, where did I went wrong, who did what. It was the time not right? Was the muhurta not right? You know, that I am suffering like this. I did it in the wrong muhurta. I probably it was not the right muhurta. I started traveling, you know, therefore I suffered, etc. So you can't figure out. It's very difficult. Right? So, but surely it's the Lord is the ultimate controller of all the factors, for sure. And it has been sanctioned by Him, and it is for my benefit. And Prabhupada says there is no incongruity or inability in his actions. If you see this, where we were reading, you skip 5-6 lines and then you see this is a line. There is no incongruity or inability in his actions. The conclusion is, therefore, the sufferings of the representative of religion and the representative of earth as present before Maharaj Parikshit were planned to prove that Maharaj Parikshit was ideal executive head because he knew well how to give protection to the cows and the brahmanas, the two pillars of spiritual advancement. Everyone is under the full control of the Lord. He is quite correct in his actions when he desires something to be done by someone, irrespective of the consideration of the particular case. Right? Irrespective of the consideration of the particular case. It is important again that keeping the detailed aside, the Lord is the cause and He is perfect in His action. Right? Maharaj Parikshit was thus put to test for His greatness. Now let us see how He solves it by His sagacious mind. Right? So they leave up to Maharaj Parikshit. This could be the cause, that could be the cause, you know. Like that. Suta Uvacha. एवं धर्मे प्रवदति स सम्राट द्विजसत्तमा समाहितेन मनसा विखेदापर्यचष्टतम्.
Suta Goswami said, O best among the Brahmanas, the Emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply.
Okay, so we take a break and we will continue after 10 minutes. The Emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied. Samahitena manasa, and without mistake or regret he gave his reply. Prabhupada saying the statement of the bull, the personality of religion, was full of philosophy and knowledge, And the king was satisfied since he could understand that the suffering bull was not an ordinary one. Unless one is perfectly conversant with the laws of Supreme Lord, one cannot speak such thing touching philosophical truth. The emperor, being also on an equal level of sagacity, replied to the point without doubts or mistake. Rajo Ubacha Dharmam Praveshi Dharmagya Dharmosi Vrisharupadrek Yada Dharma Kritasthanam Suchakasyapi Tadbhavet.
The king said, O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion and you are speaking according to the principles that the destined intended for the perpetrators of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrators, who are not other than the personality of religion.
Okay. So, herein Maharaj Parikshit is saying, Dharma Bravishi, you are speaking Dharma, Dharma Gya, you know Dharma. Dharmo Asi, in fact, you are yourself Dharma. Right? So, he said, I can understand why, from your speech that you know Dharma very well, and in fact, you are yourself Dharma. And you know that it is a dharma to identify someone as one as the cause of one's suffering. So if someone points out that he is the cause of my suffering, then that person is also destined according to laws of dharma, the same destination as the person who caused the suffering. Right? This is very subtle law. You know, if someone harms a person, you know, then a person identifies him and accuses him for his suffering, then the person who is accusing is also destined for the same destination as the person who is causing suffering. This is one of the law of dharma, right, which Maharaj Parikshit is saying. Yad adharma krita sthanam, right, adharma krita ka jo sthan hai, such kasya api tad bhavet, a person who identifies and accuses that he is the cause of my suffering, that person also tad bhave, same sthanam he also obtains, same destination. This is the law of dharma. So therefore he is saying, you know this subtle law, therefore you don't want to identify. Right? Maharaj Parikshit tells him. Huh? Okay, why is this so? Why is this so? This law of dharma says, yad adharma krita sthanam suchakasya api tad bhavet. The identifier or the person who says, oh, he is the cause of my suffering, he gets the same destination, same punishment as the person who caused the suffering. Why such a law of, this is the law of dharma. You understood the law first of all. Yeah. No, if you find fault with him, if you say that he is the cause of my, you understand? He is the cause of my suffering. He is the cause of my suffering. If you point it out that he is the cause of my suffering, suppose you met an accident, you know, and say driver is the cause of my suffering. When in order to discipline driver may have to be foretold something. You know, driver may have to discipline and all that. But you got your leg broken, you know. And you say the driver is the cause. He is the cause. He is the cause. There is no doubt about it, you know, because he is the immediate cause in that sense. But identifying him as a cause or having the whole blame goes to him, kind of, you know. That kind of understanding. So one may identify him as a cause only just to correct him, but not as a cause of my suffering. He could be the cause of an accident, you know. and he better learn driving, etc. That's okay, managerial point of view. But he is not a cause of my suffering. Right? Because I am now suffering, which was actually, a devotee understands that, which is actually ultimately given to me by the Lord. See the ultimate hand. And it is destined for me. One can see the karma as the Lord. But not as the independent again. See, when I say the scripture says, you see, okay, my own, right? Bhunjan eva atma kritam vipakam. What is that? You see your own karma as a cause. Bhagavatam recommends that, seeing that. But not karma independent of the Lord. This karma also has been given by the Lord only. This laws of the karma also to him. So therefore, he is the ultimate cause and it is for my benefit. It's all the causes should be seen in relation with the Lord and not independent. Okay? So, and no one except oneself should be held responsible for one's suffering. That is the dharma. If you hold someone else responsible for your suffering, then you get the same destination as the person who inflicts suffering upon you. That's how subtle the laws of dharma are. Yeah, it's one individual thing. But the as I said, the king has to see that who is causing the suffering. He has to chastise the miscreant. He has to establish the law and order. You know, it's not from the king's point of view. But from individual point of view, from individual perspective, if I identify someone as the cause of my suffering, I say, he alone has caused all the suffering to me. That you are going to have the same destination as this fellow. Huh? No, this is a dharma. That's what? See, the justice seeing from his perspective. Justice perspective is different, but you, again, what I'm saying is that justice do not just see the cause of suffering, they see the cause of immediate action also. So he, the driver who drived rashly, he was, whatever reason, he may be driving rashly or he was inattentive or he was a drunk, whatever reason, he is the cause of that action and he needs to be punished for that. But I cannot identify him as a cause of my suffering. In the court, when justice is asking, yeah, Parikshit is like justice. Yeah, the dharma is saying, so people may not say, but so a person who he doesn't want to identify him as a cause, the dharma, right? So for us to say that, oh, he should be imprisoned, this driver, because he caused me suffering, or he should suffer in a way because he caused me suffering, that is a wrong understanding. But just from the point of view of disciplining him, right, so that he may not cause this action to others, kind of, you know, from administration point of view, some action can be taken against him. But he should not be held responsible for my personal suffering. That is the whole thing. You focus on here, that I should not hold anyone as a cause of my personal suffering. That we have to learn actually, gradually. Right? That any suffering that has come to me, I should not hold anyone responsible except my own self. And I should not see any causes independent of the Supreme Lord. There may be the causes, immediate cause, the next cause, secondary cause, but the ultimate cause is finally the Lord. So then this should be seen. Right? So, yes.
In the scriptures, that in Kali Yuga especially,
yeah.
When you previously in the Satyuga and other ages, you see, used to take, like, if you think in the mind also, there's something wrong against somebody, then it is taken as your karma.
Yeah.
And later on, yugas, it is reduced to up to, in Kali Yuga, it is considered as when you act, against somebody,
yeah,
and to harm somebody or like do something mischievous to against others, is if the person is affected, then only offense is taken against you. So it is the same case with the dharmas also. The intricacy of dharma you are explaining right now, the same will be taken. In the Kali Yuga leniency regarding this also has been given, or it is the action has been practiced in the previous ages?
Oh, I didn't exactly get your question.
There are leniency has been given in compared to the previous ages.
I understood that. Unless you act, you don't get the reaction in Kali Yuga. For your mental, what is in the mind, you don't get reaction.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you act, you don't get the reaction of mental offenses are forgiven in Kali Yuga, basically. Then?
And then in this Kali Yuga, while pointing out suffering, your suffering,
it's a physical word, the physical, na? If you say that he is the cause of my suffering, that is a physical thing.
Is it like a verbal?
It's not. Yeah, it's a verbal, is a physical. Words are physical manifestation. So when you point it out, it's a speaking is also action in that sense, you know. Identifying. You are acting to identifying somebody. See, only as long as it is in the mind. But when you take out, it's a physical sound. It becomes physical. So identifying someone as the cause of one's suffering by words, right, or by accusation, you also are in accused, you are also involved in that suffering. It becomes the part of that act. And you also get the same destination, accusing, identifying someone as the cause of one's suffering, except by one's own self. That is a very subtle principle, right, which is very difficult to accommodate also, yeah, because Kali Yuga, you know, no one can accommodate this, you know. Everyone is, we have since the childhood, all the movies we have seen, villain is the cause, you know, and he has to be punished. And Bhagavatam says, if you identify anyone, you are also for the same suffering. This is too much to digest, you know. We can't accommodate this principle. This is this too subtle a principle to accommodate in our mind, because since childhood we have been bombarded, this fellow is the cause. This fellow is the cause. Right? This fellow is the cause. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's very difficult. So, at the personal level, we can't identify anyone as the cause of our suffering. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, mental offenses may be forgiven, but when it comes to words, when you pronounce it, you are held responsible. Yeah, if you say something to a devotee which is offensive, that is held responsible. Offensive speech is also offense. Right? Any example of offensive speech? Someone offended a person. Yeah, Amoga spoke. So many examples, not just one example. Again, the great devotees, those who. Haridas Thakur, Gopal Chakrabarti said, I will cut off your nose. Right? Yeah, so there are so many offenses. As soon as it is pronounced, you speak out. Right? Which comes, see, if the mind is, if the offense just slightly comes to the mind and you immediately reject him by having a positive thought, that will come to the words eventually. So you should not consider the offensive thought to be harmless. As soon as the offensive thought has come, you should know it will turn into words very soon. It will turn into words very soon. Therefore, the thought itself has to be destroyed by cultivating a positive thought, by hearing something positive. Right? So, as soon as words, one speaks ill of a devotee, that is held responsible. That is offensive. Right? So, here Maharaj Parikshit, he is pointing out that you are dharma personified since you do not want to identify him as the cause of your suffering. And because the law of dharma intends one who identifies the perpetrator, he also goes to the same destination as the perpetrator. Okay, so Prabhupada now gives the example. Prabhupada herein says, a devotee's conclusion is that no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or chief monger without the sanction of the Lord. Therefore, he does not consider anyone to be directly responsible for such action. But in both the cases, he takes it for granted that either benefit or loss is God-sent, and that is his grace. In the case of benefit, no one will deny that it is God-sent, right? It is very easy to say. But in the case of loss or reverses, one becomes doubtful about how the Lord could be so unkind to his devotee as to put him in great difficulty. Jesus Christ was seemingly put into such great difficulty being crucified by the ignorant, but he was never angry at the mischief mongers. That is the way of accepting a thing, either favorable or unfavorable. Thus, for a devotee, the identifier is equally a sinner. This is the way of accepting a thing, favorable or unfavorable. Thus, for a devotee, the identifier is equally a sinner, like the mischief monger. This is the law of dharma. We go ahead. Athva deva maya nunam gati ragochara chetaso vachasaschapi bhutanam iti nischaya.
Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery.
So, Maharaj Parikshit is saying, it is certain that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. Right, so no one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. So what you have said everything. What has been said is true. Vishwanath Thakur says to Bull, what you said is true. The cause is beyond reasoning. Aparatarkayad, right? Aparatarkayad is the word used by Bull. He said, you said right. The Lord's energies are inconceivable. Therefore, one cannot reason out. The course of Lord energies which cause maintenance and destruction of the whole universe is beyond the mind. It is beyond the words. Since Maya is only under his control, who can know and say how the Lord arranges happiness and distress in the form of maintenance and destruction of the living being? Okay, nice purport. A question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor. Right? You all have that question. Prabhupada is answering now. Although he knows definitely that Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. So, bolo, arre, bolo yaar, tum kuch to bhagwan to bolo. Kaun cause hai tumhari suffering ka? Sab usi ne kiya. Well, didn't even say that. He didn't identify anybody, actually. Right? He said, Lord cannot be ascertained as the cause of suffering. And he can't be held responsible. Therefore, he cannot be called as the cause of suffering. Right? So, a question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying the actor. Although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. Knowing the ultimate doer, one should not pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer. To answer this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible. Right? So the Lord is not directly responsible. For everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti or material energy. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Lord, and still he was put into doubts by the deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. This doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and material energy. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by deluding energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. Okay. We go ahead. Parikshit Maharaj is speaking these verses. Tapaha saucham daya satyam. Iti pada krite krita. Adharmam shastrayo bhagna. Smay sanga madhastava.
In the age of Satya, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness. But it appears that three of your legs are broken due to the rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for the woman and intoxication.
So Parikshit Maharaj in two verses is saying, although you may not say, but I know the cause of your suffering. Right? So he is saying that how in Satyuga you had four legs. Right? But it appears now that your three legs have been broken by due to the rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust and intoxication. Right. Go to text 25. Idanim dharma padaste satyam nivartaye dyata tam jigrakshate adharmoyam anritena dhitakali.
You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbing alone. But quarrel personified Kali, flourished by deceits, is also trying to destroy that leg.
So, so he is saying that now this Kali personified, you had the four legs, but now the Kali, the influence of Kali is there, and due to pride, lust for women and intoxication, you are devoid of your three legs, right? And the this personified Kali is now also trying to destroy your fourth leg. So Prabhupada comments upon these four principles briefly in the purport. Right? Satyam, which are quoted in the text 24, Tapa Saucham Daya Satyam. Text 26, Iyam Cha Bhumir Bhagavata Nyasi Toru Bharasati Srimad Bhistad Padanyasa Sarvata Krita Kautuka.
The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well. When he was present as an incarnation, all good was performed because of his auspicious footprints.
Sochyate Ashru Kalasadvi Durbhage Ujjata Sati Abramanya Nripa Vyaja Shudra Bhokshanti Mamiti.
Now she, the chaste one, been unfortunately forsaken for by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes. And now she has been ruled and enjoyed by the lower caste class men who pose as rulers.
Okay. So he says actually that earth was very fortunate and the religion was flourishing when the Supreme Lord was there. Now that he has left, and because of his leaving, right, and earth has become unfortunate, has been forsaken. Therefore, this is now therefore you are suffering because the Supreme Lord has left now and the irreligion is flourishing, right, in this age of Kali Yuga. So he is seeing that now Supreme Lord has left and it is the time for Kali Yuga to begin. Therefore, this will of the Lord, the age has set and this is the cause of her suffering. But still, he says, but Kali personified, right, who is a mischief monger, who is spreading this dharma, who is the immediate cause, I am not going to spare him. Right? He may not be the ultimate cause, but it doesn't mean that the immediate cause is innocent. Right? So he said, it may be that the irreligion has flourished, but as long as I am there, I will not allow it. In my personal capacity, I will do my best to check irreligion. You know? So this is not, he's not going against the will of the Lord, you know. The Lord, rather, is the will of the Lord that always there be dharma, right? But by his arrangement of the kal factor, the kal brings all the adharmic people, those are prone to adharma, during the time brings them together now, you know, the time brings people together and separate them. Doesn't mean that the time has brought them all together and the dharma will flourish, but the Lord still desires people may take shelter of dharma. So he says, although the time Kali has begun, the Lord has left, but I will not allow the dharma to do such torture, such innocent subjects, right? The personality of Kali. So he takes up, you know, the responsibility of checking it, right? So it's not that okay, now this has to come anyway, therefore now let me sit down, you know. Or seeing the Lord as the immediate cause or the ultimate cause, it doesn't mean that one doesn't address the immediate causes, right? As I said, one has to see the Lord as the ultimate cause, means everything is finally under the control of the Lord. It denotes that. It doesn't denote that the other causes are not to be addressed or one can't do anything about it, right? You got the point? So that's how it is. So he takes up on himself to now punish the Kali. Iti dharmam mahim chaiva santayutva maharatha nishatam ad dekhadgam kale dharma hetave.
Maharaj Parikshit, who could fight 1,000 enemies single-handedly, thus pacified the personality of religion and the earth. Then he took up his sharp sword to kill the personality of Kali, who is the cause of all irreligion.
Okay, so now Maharatha, right? The king took up his sword and he is now ready to kill the age of this Kali personified. So Prabhupada says, this age of Kali, the third line, will certainly be full of all activities of Kali, but it doesn't mean that the leader of society, the executive heads, the learned and intelligent men, or above all, the devotees of the Lord should sit down tightly and become callous to the reactions of the age. It is a duty, after 3-4 lines, it is a duty of the executive head of the state and others to take all necessary actions against the activities of Kali or persons influenced by the age of Kali. The administrators should not simply pass resolutions for anti-corruptional steps, but they must be ready with sharp swords to kill the persons creating corruptions from the angle of vision of recognized shastras.
Tam jigham summa bhipritya vihaya nipalanchanam tatpadamulam shirasa samagad bhaya vivala.
When the personality of Kali understood that the king was willing to kill him,
he at once abandoned the dress of king and under pressures of the fear, completely surrendered to him, bowing his head.
Tat pada mulam shirasa. Right? So now in fear, first of all, vihaya nipalanchanam, he gave up that kingly dress. Because Prabhupada said the Kshatriya cannot surrender, Kshatriya has to fight. He has to do or die, you know. Either you fight, either win or die, that's all. So, but he gave up the dress of a Kshatriya, revealed himself to be Shudra, and then took shelter of Maharaj Parikshit. Patitam padayor vira, kripaya dina vatsala, saranyo navadish shlokya.
Maharaj Parikshit, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor.
Okay, so The king, as he surrendered, the king described him kripaya din vatsala. Right? He was kind to the poor and he was compassionate. Shranyo navadhi shlokya aha chedam hasandiva. He would not kill any surrendered soul. Therefore, he just smiled compassionately upon the Kali personified. Prabhupada said he was smiling because the artificially dressed Kali has disclosed his identity. Right? And then he was smiling because he was just about to be killed and just he saved himself, you know, by taking shelter. So, you may say, "Arey, maar dena chahiye tha, achha hota hai, hai na? Kya bolte ho?" But Maharaj Parikshit is intelligent. He said, if I kill a surrendered person, then I become a victim of Kali first place. Because king cannot kill anyone who surrenders to him. I will be involved in the dharma first of all. I will become the first victim of Kali if I kill him. He has taken my shelter, therefore I cannot kill him now. Right? So, so the king smiled also, understanding that this is the plan of the Lord. That just on time, you know, he put his head on my feet and got saved. Otherwise, I would have killed him. Right? So he understood first of all that he just took shelter at the right time, and he understood that if I kill him, actually then I become the victim of Kali. And Vishnu Thakur says actually he won't be killed; he will enter me if I perform that act. He will enter me actually and won't be killed. Right? So then he understood this is the plan of the Lord, and he said, "Today you have been protected from my hand, though I want to kill you." Maharaj Parikshit said. Prabhupada also said that and the Prabhupada, thus the personality of Kali was saved by the will of providence. Right? Because there is a plan of the Lord which has to unfold. Right? Therefore, the Kali was actually saved by the will of the providence. Rajo uvacha nate gudake sheshodharanam baddhanjalirvay bhayamasti kinchit navartitavyam bhavata kathanchana kshetre madiye tam dharma bandhu.
The king first said, "We have inherited the fame of Arjuna, therefore hence you have surrendered yourself with folded hands. You need not fear your life, but you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion."
Okay, so Maharaj Parikshit said, we are inherited, right, the fame from Arjuna, therefore we can't kill you since you have surrendered, right? And Maya Jana surrendered to Arjuna and was saved. But he's saying, but you can't stay over here. Right? Kshetre Madhiye Tom Adharma Bandhu, you can't stay in my jurisdiction. You have to go out. And Prabhupada says, the personality of Kali, who is a friend of all kinds of irreligiosities, may be excused if he surrenders, but in all circumstances he cannot be allowed to live as a citizen in any part of a welfare state. Tam vartamanam naradeha deshva anu pravitto yamadharma puga lobonitam chauryamanaryamamho jishtha chamaya kalahaschadamba.
If the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man-god or an executive head, certainly irreligious principles like greed, falsehood, robbery, incivility, treachery, misfortune, cheating, quarrel and vanity will abound.
Okay, so Maharaj Parikshit said that if the Kali is allowed to be executive head, you know, he must be banished. He cannot be allowed to become given any administrative post or etc. Right? If that happens, then all these vices will flourish that are mentioned. So Prabhupada says nowadays states are secular and all that, but actually the principle of religion, namely, because the principle of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, may be followed by the follower of any faith. He said, the king, the state may be secular, Prabhupada says, in the middle of the purport, a secular state may be impartial to any type of faith. Okay, you may not support one kind of faith and other, but at least the state cannot be indifferent to the principle of religion. You know, the common principles in all faith, we see all the common principles of being, showing mercy, right, performing austerity, cleanliness, these principles are actually principles of dharma, which are common to all kind of faith. So secular state, Prabhupada says, okay, fine, you don't support any faith, don't favor anyone and deny anyone, but at least the state has to ensure that the dharma is followed. Right, these common principles of religion are followed. The state can't become atheistic, you know, on the name of secularism. 33. Navartitavyam. We have done that? No. Navartitavyam tadadharma bandho. Dharmena satyena chadvartitavye. Brahma varte yatra yanti yagyar yageshwaram yagya vitan vigyat.
Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so he says you can't live over here where there are performance of sacrifices according to the truth and religious principle for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada said there may be any kind of faith or any kind of worship process, but one should truthfully try to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. That is the central point. Yasmin harir bhagavan ijyamana Harir Bhagavan Ijyam Ijatma Murtir Yajatam Shamtanoti Kamana Mogan Sirajangamanam Antar Bahir Vayuri Vesha Atma.
In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is worshipped because He is the Supersoul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is He only who awards all welfare to the worshipper.
Guru text. Guru text 35. Suta uvacha. Parikshitaivam adishta. Sakalir jata vepathu. Tamudyadasi mad ahedam.
Sri Sattva Goswami said, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Parikshit, began to tremble in fear, seeing the king before him like Yamaraj, ready to kill him. Kali spoke to the king as follows.
Okay, so he ordered him to leave immediately. So the Kali speaks. Kalir uvacha. Yatr kvavata vatsyami sarvabhaumata vagayat lakshase tatra tatrapi tvam ateshu sharasanam.
O your majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under your order, I shall but see you with bow and arrows wherever I look.
Kali is saying, you are saying, get out of my kingdom. He said, the whole earth is your kingdom. Where will I go? I have taken shelter of you. You have to award me some place. Right? Otherwise, wherever I go, you will come with your bow and arrow to chastise me. Tanme dharma bhritam shrestha. Satam nirdeshtum arhasi. Yatreva niyato vatsya. Atishthamste anushasanam.
Therefore, O chief amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me where I can live permanently under the protection of your government.
So Prabhupada makes a nice point. He is saying, first of all, Dharma Britam, the personality of Kali, addressed Maharaj Parikshit as the chief among the protector of religiosity because the king refrained from killing a person who surrendered unto him. Right? He is saying, just like if the king is supposed to offer shelter to a person who surrenders to him, even though he may be enemy, if the enemy comes and surrenders to a king, the king is supposed to offer him shelter. That is the law of Dharma. He said, how much more, right, Krishna will give shelter and protection to those who surrender to him, right, in the mood of service, right, to his devoted servitors. Right? So he said, if ordinary king will give shelter to even the enemy, then how much more shelter and protection will Krishna give to those who surrender to him? Right? Prabhupada makes very nice point from here. It means that one should be assured of complete protection, right, and shelter by the Lord. If the enemy is to be offered, then a person who is faithful, not just faithful, a person who is a seva parayan devotee, right, who wants to serve Krishna, if he goes to Krishna and seeks shelter, how can the Lord ever deny it, right? Or how much more the Lord will offer it? Suta uvacha. Abhyartitastadatasme. Sthanani kaliye dado. Dyutampanam striyashuna. Yatra adharmas chaturvidha.
Sut Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, does being patient petitions by the personality of Kali gave him permission to reside in places where gambling, drinking, prostitution and animal slaughter were performed?
Okay, so he gave him the four places now. Dyutam, Panam, Striya, Shuna, where these four Yatra Adharma, there are four irreligious activities taking place, Chaturvidha, please reside there. So, and Prabhupada talks about this in the purport. And then Prabhupada, toward the end of the purport, if you see, Prabhupada gives 3 points, you know, how the, he gives the kind of, he suggests administrative policy, right, to the administrators, that if they can implement the principle of dharma, then Kaliyuga can be checked, right, by these 3 points Prabhupada describes. You can read it yourself. Guru text 39. Punaschaya cha manaya chatarupam madat prabhu tato nritam madam kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam.
The personality of Kali asked for something more, and because of this begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity.
Okay, so Prabhupada said, practically there were no place like that, last four he sanctioned, right? No such places. So Prabhupada says, therefore, third line, therefore Kali asked the king to give him something practical. He said, be practical, there is no such place, you know. That means you are not offering me any shelter. There is no such place in your kingdom where there is dyutam, panam, you know, all those four things, striya, shuna. Right? You have never, not allowed any slaughterhouses, prostitution houses, gambling, casinos, right? There is nothing, or restaurant cum bars, whatever. He said, there is nothing like that existing in your kingdom. So, give me some place to live, right, for the negotiation. Therefore, he allowed him a place where there is gold. Right? Basically, where there is accumulation of gold for sense gratification, where people indulge in accumulating. Right? So, Prabhupada said, therefore Kali asked the king to give something practical which could be utilized for his nefarious purposes. Yeah, and Prabhupada suggests that the condition has become worse, because there, if there is actual gold, there may not be so much accumulation then, you know. They have printed too many notes and there is over accumulation. Gold standardized currency is creating, is worsening the problem, Prabhupada says. It's worsening the problem. Right? Gold standardized currency is worsening the problem. So basically he gave him that wherever there is accumulation of gold, greed, right, of money in modern terms, right, where when a person just accumulates money, there you can recite it. Right? So, these four principles of dharma, right, they are always present where there is excess money. You see that wherever there is excess money, people, they break these principles. Right? They go to the gambling houses to spend money, they indulge in intoxication, they go for prostitution houses. Right? So there is excess money. And it also brings enmity. You know? They create so many enemies, you know, where there is excess money accumulation. So the Kali, the dharma there is a money for accumulation of money for sense gratification, and there you can decide, because there with this dharma will anyway flourish, Maharaj Parikshit says. So even though the Vaishnavacharyas, they were very careful that there should not be undue accumulation of money. So Prabhupada was very careful. As soon as money is there, start a new project, start a temple, print books, don't keep money. Rather, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he would always keep Gaudiya Math under debt. That was his policy. He said, all the devotees have to work hard, you know, to repay the debt. As soon as one debt is resolved, he will take another huge debt and spend it for preaching, publishing book, whatever. And he said, now whatever devotees have to collect donations, you know, we are under debt. You can all collect donations, you distribute literature, get money to pay the debt. Before the debt is fully cleared, another debt taken. So that there is no accumulation of money. Because whenever there is accumulation of money, there adharma flourishes. It has been seen many a times. You know. So as soon as there is, it's a fact actually. So many spiritual leaders, they become corrupt because they got so much donation, they don't know how to effectively use everything in Krishna's service. So they keep it, and that bewilders them. You know, it happened so many times. The accumulation of money is very risky actually. Prabhupada never took chance with that. Immediately keep spending. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was even more proactive, you know. Not after coming he spent, he would spend before. You know. So it's because there is accumulation of money or accumulation of gold for sense gratification. Prabhupada says gold ornaments for women may be allowed by control. Not by quality but by quantity. He also says that. Women should also not wear too many, you know. It should be also be controlled. It should not be. Here's the last fourth or fifth line of the purport. Gold ornaments for women may be allowed. But he points out that actual, if there is actual gold, there will be limited currency. You know, all duly you print so many notes and there is over accumulation, it causes even more problem, havoc. So having actual currency will create the situation under control. But still, accumulation of gold, there will be kali. That is the point. Amuni panchasthanani hiya dharma prabhavakali ottarena dattani nevashattan nideshakret.
Thus the personality of Kali, by the directions of Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Uttara, was allowed to live in those five places.
Athetani na sevet bhuvushu purushakvachet visheshato dharmashilo raja lokapatir guru.
Therefore, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, brahmanas and sannyasis, should never come in contact with the four above mentioned irreligious principles.
Right. So that they should never ever come in contact with these places of where the Kali resides. Right? And Vishwanath Thakur says, and they should never indulge in the fifth one. Prabhupada says fifth one is accommodation of gold. They should not indulge in that. They may have to use it, they may have to come in contact with the money for serving Krishna, but they should not indulge, they should not use that for sense gratification, and they should not stalk it. Two things. Okay? They should not come in any touch with all the four religious principles described. There should be not even a remote contact, and there should be no indulgence with the fifth one, which place was given. Vrishasya nashtam sutrin padan tapashocham dayamiti pratisandad ashvasya mahimcha samavardayat.
Thereafter the king established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull, and by encouraging activity he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth.
Okay, so he re-established the legs of personality, means re-establish the principle of religion. As we thought, it's a symbolic terms we were discussing. Yes, so you can go through the. Prabhupada makes one very emphatic point. He says, Kali has been allowed to stay where there is a accumulation of money. Therefore, Prabhupada says, spending 50% for the service of the Lord. And I never saw Prabhupada making this point so emphatically. This is the second paragraph, middle. He says, spending 50% for the service of the Lord or for the propagation of spiritual knowledge in society by the way of Sankirtan Yajna is the maximum display of human mercy. And then again Prabhupada says, after 3-4 lines, when everyone is taught to sacrifice 50% of his accumulated gold for the Lord's service, certainly austerity, cleanliness and mercy automatically ensue, and thus the lost 3 lakh of personality of religion are automatically established. When there is sufficient austerity, cleanliness and mercy and truthfulness, naturally Mother Earth is completely satisfied and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society. And because Kali is there where money is accumulated, Prabhupada says if 50% is spent, then Kali can be checked, taking a clue from here. You know, let people not accumulate it, let them spend it for this cause. Right? So they will save themselves and they will save so many other people. So a Kali can be checked, and Prabhupada says this is the maximum display of human mercy, Prabhupada saying, spending 50% for this purpose to spread the principle of dharma. Right? So the Kali will be checked by this one act, Prabhupada is saying. If everyone becomes ready to do that and make that sacrifice, you know. So I never read so emphatically Prabhupada making this point. Earlier who would suggest, you know, it would be a suggestion one should do, one's income, etc. But here Prabhupada is actually making it very emphatically this point. And he said the Kali Yuga can be defeated by this act of charity. When every householder is trained to give 50% of his income. Saesh etarhaye adhyastha asanam parthivochitam pitamaheno anastam ragyaranyam vivikshata आस्ति अधुना ते राजऋषि कौर्मेन्द्र श्री उल्लसन गजावये महाभागस्त चक्रवर्तीर बृहश्रवा.
The most fortunate emperor Maharaj Parikshit, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur by Maharaj Yudhishthir, when he desired to retire to the forest, he is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty.
Okay, so Suta Goswami is speaking now these three concluding verses. He says that because of his influence, Aste Adhuna Sa Raj Rishi, because of his influence, today we all can perform the sacrifice over here in Naimisharanya. His protection is still there, he is saying. Although Maharaj Parikshit has left, but he is saying the way he checked the Kali and gave the protection, because that influence is still there, because of nearness, he says, Adhuna is going on now also, his protection. You know, present tense is used because it just happened in the near, it was very near in the past. And it was his influence, and the influence is still there. Therefore, we are able to perform this sacrifice over here with great success, Suta Goswami says. Ittham bhutanu bhavo yam abhimanyu suto nipa yasya palayata shaunim yuyam satraya dikshita.
Maharaj Parikshit, this son of Abhimanyu is so experienced that by dint of his expert administration and patronage, it has been possible for you to perform a sacrifice such as this.
Okay, again, as a concluding remark, because of his expert administration, patronage, right, and his great lineage, following his predecessors, following the course of Krishna, our sacrifice is going on. Jai Granthrashi Mad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premande Hari Hari Gaur.